Chapter 6, Internal Growth, Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verse from memory, explain what is meant by internal church growth, define spiritual growth, identify the evidences of spiritual growth, explain the ministry of the Holy Spirit in relation to internal church growth, identify growth conditions in the natural world that parallel those in the spiritual world. Key verse, Colossians 1:19, and holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Introduction. In the last chapter, you learned there are four types of growth in God's plan for multiplication of the church. The church is to multiply through internal expansion, extension, and bridging growth. This lesson focuses on the internal growth of the church. Internal growth. When we speak of internal growth of the church, we are referring to the spiritual growth and development of its members. The church grows spiritually in proportion to the growth of its individual members. The church must not only grow in quantity through extension, expansion, and bridging growths, it must also grow in quality. Growth in quality is internal and spiritual growth. Paul referred to this process, comparing it to internal growth in the natural body. Colossians 1:19, and holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. The increase of God refers to spiritual growth. As members grow spiritually, the church experiences internal growth. The entire body is nourished and increases with the increase of God. Spiritual growth is an increase in spiritual maturity, which results in the development of Christ life in the believer. It is growth in the knowledge of Jesus. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is growth in Jesus. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Spiritual growth means decrease of self and increase in the life of Christ in you. John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Spiritual growth does not come automatically as a result of the length of time one has been a believer. It is a result of the development of the Christ life in a believer. Evidence of spiritual growth include an increase in spiritual knowledge, proper application of that knowledge to life and ministry, a deeper delight in spiritual things, a greater love for God and others, development of Christ-like spiritual qualities, spiritual fruit, an increase in desire and ability to share the gospel with others, development and effective use of spiritual gifts. Growth is a natural result of life. If there is a spiritual life in a church, internal growth will result, as well as expansion, extension, and bridging growths. The Holy Spirit and internal growth. In the last chapter, you learned of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the church. The Holy Spirit formed the church, inspires its worship, directs its missionary activities, selects its ministers, anoints its preachers, guides its decisions, baptizes with power. In addition to these ministries in the church, the Holy Spirit has important functions in relation to the internal growth of the church. These include conviction of sin. Spiritual growth is hindered by sin. The Holy Spirit convicts believers of sin. John 16:8-11. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more. of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. When the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, we can then follow the command found in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Regeneration. Regeneration means change. The Holy Spirit changes the lives of believers. Such change brings internal growth. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Sanctification. Sanctification means to separate unto God. This separation results in spiritual growth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of truth. Indwelling. The Holy Spirit indwells or lives in the lives of believers. The purpose of this indwelling is to strengthen the new nature received through salvation. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 5:16-18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Strengthening. Strength and growth are related. You become strong as you grow. It takes strength to grow. Internal growth comes through the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Unity. Unity brings internal growth in the church. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we are bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Intercession. The intercession of the Holy Spirit builds up the believer spiritually. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building ye up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Guidance. The Holy Spirit guides believers into the truth of God's Word, which brings spiritual growth. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Revelation. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God's word to a believer which results in spiritual growth. 1 Corinthians 2:10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Love. People grow spiritually in an atmosphere of love. Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Conforming. The Holy Spirit is at work internally to conform believers to the image of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Teaching. We grow spiritually as we grow in the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit is our resident teacher. 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Assurance. Doubt hinders spiritual growth. The Holy Spirit eliminates doubt by giving assurance of salvation. Romans 8:16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." 1 John 3:24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And whereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us." Liberty. Restrictions limit growth. The Holy Spirit gives liberty from sin and traditions of man. Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Comforting. Depression and discouragement hinder growth. The Holy Spirit provides comfort. Acts 9:31, "And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost." John 14:17 and 26, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Quickening. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus was to raise him from the dead. Romans 8:11. "The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The Spirit is able to quicken, empower, give new life, resurrect your mortal body. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." If you do not mature spiritually, you become spiritually dead. The growth process ceases. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that quickens you again to spiritual life. Demonstrating power. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4 and 5, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The demonstration of power by the Holy Spirit increases your faith in God. Empowering for witnessing. The special power to witness is the true evidence that one has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Spiritually mature believers will be reproductive witnesses of the gospel. Baptizing. The church experiences eternal growth through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Baptism in the Holy Spirit results in the development of spiritual gifts and fruit in the lives of believers. Giving spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are important to the eternal growth of the church because they edify believers. To edify means to build up and promote spiritual growth. You will learn more about spiritual gifts in the next lesson. Developing spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit is the nature of the Spirit revealed in the life of the believer. It refers to spiritual qualities which should be evident in the lives of all believers. Spiritual fruit is the evidence of spiritual growth. Like fruit in the natural world, it is a product which results from the process of life. Just as fruit takes time to develop in the natural world, spiritual fruit takes time to develop. It is a product of internal growth in the life of a believer. Here is a list of the spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. God wants you to grow in love, deep affection, care, and concern, joy, gladness, delight, and jubilance, which is not dependent on the circumstances of life, peace, quiet, calm, harmony, absence of strife, anxiety, and concern, long-suffering, patience, the ability to cheerfully bear an unbearable situation, endurance, gentleness, a mild manner, not severe, violent, or loud, quiet, respectful kindness to others, goodness, acts of holiness and righteousness, faith, an attitude of confidence towards God, meekness, controlled strength, temperance, moderation in emotions, thoughts, and actions, self-control. Conditions for growth. In the natural world, there are certain conditions required for growth and development of fruit. These natural conditions are parallels of spiritual factors necessary for growth of the fruit of spiritual maturity. Here are some of the parallels. Life. Growth is impossible without life. Fruit development starts from a seed. There must be life in the seed or it will not grow. In the parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God. Growth comes through the seed of the word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Jesus was a visible manifestation of the word of God, the seed, and in him was life. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Jesus came to plant this seed of life in us to enable our spiritual growth. John 10:10. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Proper soil. The seed of the Word of God must have good soil in order to develop properly. Read the parable of the sower in Mark 4. Only the seed which fell on good ground brought spiritual growth. In Mark 4:20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You must prepare the ground of your heart and mind to receive the seed of the word of God. Water. Water is necessary for growth in the natural world. God promised in Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. This pouring out is an anointing of the Holy Spirit, of which water is a symbol. Isaiah 44:3 in the Amplified Version says, I will pour out my Spirit upon your seed. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The water of the Holy Spirit causes the seed of the Word of God to take root in the hearts of men and women who are spiritually dead. Job 14:7-9. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Light. It is response to light that causes growth in the natural world. Spiritual growth occurs in response to spiritual light. That light is Jesus. John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Air. Air is drawn in by the natural plant from the atmosphere which surrounds it. Air is necessary to growth. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is compared to air or a wind. John 3:8, the Knox translation. The wind breathes where it will, and thou canst hear the sound of it, but knowest nothing of the way it came or the way it goes. So it is when a man is born of the breath of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathes life into the seed of the Word of God. Spiritual growth and fruit development result. Space. In the parable of the sower, competition for space caused some plants to die. Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The competition of the things of the world chokes the seed of the Word of God and prevents spiritual growth. Rest. A period of rest, called dormancy, occupies a specific season of the development cycle of plants in the natural world. It is a time of rest for the plant and is a season that precedes the springtime of rapid growth. During dormancy, the plant looks like it is dead, but it is not dead. The seed of life is still alive within. Sometimes an individual or a church may appear as though it is not growing spiritually, but if the seed of the Word of God has been properly planted, internal growth will occur in time. See Psalm 1. Just as in the natural world, spiritual dormancy precedes the period of rapid growth and development. Wait patiently for the process of internal growth to multiply spiritual fruit. James 5:7. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Root system. Roots are necessary to anchor and supply nutrients to the plant. Psalm 1 tells how to develop the root system in your spiritual life. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Death. Every time you plant a seed to produce fruit, it does not come to life unless it dies first. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of what fall into the ground and die, it bideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. 1 Corinthians 15:36, the Amplified Version. Every time you plant a seed, you sow something that does not come to life, germinating, springing up, and growing, unless it dies first. Spiritual life depends on death to the things of the world. It requires death to sin, worldly desires and pleasures. Death to the world results in the development of the fruit of Christlikeness in your life. Attached to the vine. In order to bear fruit in the natural world, a branch must be attached to the main fruit. If the branch is broken off from the main life-giving vine or trunk, it will not bear fruit. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. In order to bear spiritual fruit, we must maintain our relationship to him. John 15:1-5. I am the vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Pruning. Pruning is necessary in the natural world if a plant is to remain reproductive and bear fruit. When a farmer prunes a plant, he cuts off the unproductive branches in order to make the plant produce more fruit. He removes everything which would hinder the growth of the plant. Pruning is also necessary in the spiritual world. Spiritual pruning is correction by God. The Bible also calls it chastisement. When God prunes, he removes from your life everything which would hinder your spiritual growth. This process is necessary if you are to bear spiritual fruit. John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Sometimes you do not reap the benefits of pruning because you blame Satan, when God is actually the one bringing circumstances into your life to correct you or prune. The purpose of God's correction is given in Hosea 6:1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. The chastisement of pruning results in a return to God. Only by returning to him will you become spiritually reproductive and bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Climate. Climate is important to development of fruit. In the natural world, many types of fruit are developed in environments that are specifically controlled. They are grown in buildings called hothouses at specific temperatures. They are protected from the real environment of the outside world. If you take a hothouse plant and move it outside, it will soon die because it has lived only in a controlled environment. It cannot withstand the environment of the real world. Spiritually speaking, you do not want hothouse Christians who look good in controlled settings, but wilt on contact with the real world.